Golf Talk America is brought to you by ClubCor, the leader in private clubs. Go to ClubCor.com for more information and by the French Lick Resort. Go to FrenchLick.com and check out everything they have to offer. It's an exciting place to go and a fun place to hang out at. FrenchLick.com.
Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America. It is the day after the Open Championship, the 149th Open Championship at Royal St. George's. And wow, what a fun time. What a great tournament. Didn't expect to see it turn out the way it did after we saw what Jordan Spieth was doing, making his big run, but it is what it is, and it was a pretty fun Sunday afternoon to see some great golf live from the Open Championship. This segment, by the way, is brought to you by our good friends at Arnold Palmer Spiked. Go to Arnold Palmer Spiked. We'll talk more about it later. I love Arnold Palmer Spiked. So, as we said, we had an opportunity to sit in through in the media center with a lot of interviews, and I wanted to do sort of a wrap show like we do for the PGA Tour and let you hear some of what was said in the interview room and some of the notables as they came in after their final round. One of our favorite people on the tour and at the Open this year was Jon Rahm.
John, first of all, can you just give us your thoughts on the championship overall?
Well, what am I going to say? It's a good championship. You know, I play really good golf. I think the main part of my game that could have been a little bit better is putting. Not that I'm asking to make every putt, but I really struggle making putts that were outside really 8 feet, right? Even if you take today, I did make the long one on 15, but besides that, every birdie putt I had was short, and even the eagle one, right? There was a lot of chances out there that, you know, I could have made or that I know the guys up there ahead of me are making. But at the end of the day, you know, still really good showing. Play really good golf all week, and, you know, too bad I'm going to end up just shy. I'm still going to smile because I gave it my all, finished really, really strong, and gave myself the best chance I could.
Well, that was cut off pretty quick, but that was just about all he had to say. Short and sweet, not an exciting championship for him. He didn't play as well as he had wanted to, but he finished. He's going to be back over here and playing some more golf and having a lot of fun. Another player that we had an opportunity to listen in on was Rory McIlroy. Of course, we all know what happened to Rory there, and let's just listen to what Rory had to say about it.
Okay, everyone, we're joined by Rory McIlroy. Pete, if you want to unmute and ask your question, go ahead.
Hi, Rory. Thanks for taking the time. This is probably a little bit of an unfair inquiry, you know, but obviously you hear that. What's wrong with Rory? You just won at Quail, but obviously also not the results you wanted in majors. And I was just wondering, how do you find that balance to get back to the level you want to get at, combating pressure? You know, I've heard you say maybe be a little bit more indifferent, and in other weeks it's like maybe be a little bit more aggressive. And how difficult it is that to find that like equilibrium for you to play your best?
Yeah, it's certainly a balance. I think you have to go by how you're feeling on the week as well. You know, some weeks you might need a little bit more indifference, and other weeks you might need it to sort of try to be a little more aggressive. For me at the minute, it's just a process of trying to work my way back to the sort of form and the sort of level that I know I can play at. Obviously, I haven't played at that for, I'm not going to say all the majors. I felt like I was pretty close to Torrey Pines. But it's just been sort of one of those, you know, I'm the best. If you want someone to shoot even par for you for a week, I'm your man. That's sort of... there's a lot of birdies in there, but there's a lot of bogeys too. So, I think it's just more the bogey avoidance and just sort of the mental errors. Because I've made, you know, look, I've made 17 birdies this week, which is more than enough to challenge to win this golf tournament. It's just I make too many mistakes. And that's the part that I need to try to get right. And whether that's trying to be a little too aggressive from bad spots or putting myself in bad starts to begin bad spots to begin with. But it's just a matter of just trying to iron out the mistakes, because there's enough good stuff in there to contend at these golf tournaments. But I'm just not allowing myself to do that with some of the mistakes I'm making.
Okay, Owen, unmute yourself and go ahead. Hi, Rory. From your 72 holes, if you were to look at it with the even par, 280, it would look kind of standard enough. But as you were saying there yourself, there weren't many pars in that round, so you were kind of going from really good to maybe just slight mistakes, and you were being punished for them. In a kind of transitional period of your swing, is it important to just sort of take lessons from it and take the positives, especially moving on to the rest of the year with the Olympics, Ryder Cup, and other big tournaments to be won, and then moving into next year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you hit the nail on the head there. I need to look at the positives, and the positives are I made enough birdies this week to contend in the golf tournament, but you know, I made too many mistakes. And I think that's going to happen a little bit. You know, when you're trying to, you know, do some things a little bit differently, and you know, there's certainly, I think as well, like there's certainly times when those mistakes and those bogeys don't really come from a bad swing, just a bad decision or, you know, trying to do something that you shouldn't do. I mean, you know, I could probably pick two or three things today that, you know, I made more bad decisions and mental errors, and, you know, hitting clubs that I, you know, was, you know, barely going to get, you know, it's fine margins at the end of the day. And I just need to do a better job of when I do have those sort of in-between shots, and when I do have situations where it's like, okay, you know, like try to put this in the middle of the green and make par. I need to do a better job of just maybe being a little bit more disciplined out there. I think if I did that, you know, I'd probably avoid a few of the bogeys that I made this week.
Okay, we'll take one more question from Brian Keogh. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, thanks, Rory, for stopping. Just Shane's having a good week. It looks like he might make his way into the Ryder Cup team on the points after this week. Just wondering what you make of Shane as a Ryder Cup, a possible Ryder Cup player, and what you think he might bring to that team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, great player, Open champion, major champion. I mean, I think, you know, even if he didn't play his way into the points this week or in the next few weeks, I'm pretty sure he'd still be on the team going to Whistling Straits. He's fiery, he's competitive, he certainly doesn't like to lose. You know, all the things that you would want in a person to go and play a Ryder Cup, especially in America when you need... You know, you need personalities that are going to go up against, you know, not just the American team, but also the American crowd. And, you know, I think he's tailor-made for that.
Question. Neil, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rory. Just related to what you're asked, do you think that obviously the major season's over, but you've got the Olympics and the Ryder Cup coming up? Do you think that might help you in a way, that the team environment you've done well in the Ryder Cup before help you with your game generally?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things to concentrate on before the Ryder Cup. FedEx Cup in the States is a huge goal of everyone's, and you know, I guess that's the real next big thing for me. Obviously, the Olympics in a week's time, but you know, I want to just try to get on a good stretch of golf. You know, I've got probably four tournaments between now and the Ryder Cup, and I sort of just want to focus on them first before I turn my attention to that.
Okay, that's all we've got time for. Thanks, Rory.
Thank you.
So there you go, Rory McIlroy in the media center after his round, and some very positive thoughts coming out. 17 birdies? Yeah, I think that's enough birdies to contend without mistakes. Wow, he was painfully honest, but I think he's on the right track, and he's back. So, you know, we love hearing from Rory McIlroy and all of the players, and we'll hear from more of them soon. But I want to talk about one thing that it's near and dear to my heart, and that's a way to celebrate life. When you're tired and you just came off the course, and whether you had a good round or a bad round, there's a great thing that's a blend of iced tea and lemonade. You already know what I'm about to talk about. It's Arnold Palmer Spiked, but it now has 5% alcohol by volume, made with real juice and brewed teas for smooth flavor that's easygoing. About as easygoing as Mr. Palmer himself. But I personally love Arnold Palmer Spiked, whether it's after just being out and about in the yard working, or out on the golf course, or on the tennis court, or wherever we may be. So Arnold Palmer Spiked is the timeless combinations that we can't help but enjoy. And like good friends and laid-back weekends, fairways and fair weather, long drives and holes in one. I mean, come on. There's never a bad time for Arnold Palmer Spiked, especially because it comes in multi-packs, a tall 24-ounce can. It's perfect for sipping, you know, whether you're on the lake, too. So be sure to check out Arnold Palmer Spiked at a store near you. Go to arnoldpalmerspiked.com/GTA, or you can search for it on Drizzly and Instacart. That's arnoldpalmerspiked.com/GTA, our favorite drink to have. 2021 Hornell Brewing Company, Memphis, Tennessee, malt beverage with natural flavor. Celebrate responsibly. We'll be right back with more interviews from the Media Center at the 149th Open Championship. You're listening to Golf Talk America. I'm Frank Bassett, and don't go anywhere, folks. You know, we all know we should be eating more fish to get our omega-3s and protein. But the seafood counter can be intimidating. Which fish tastes the best? What type of cut? Can you really be sure about the quality? Wild Alaskan Company, that's Wild Alaskan Company, takes the guesswork out of buying wild-caught seafood. You're used to having a lot of choices when it comes to what you eat, but it matters where your food comes from. Get the nutrition from nature. The Wild Alaskan Company sources wild-caught seafood from Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. You know, we all like to go out and eat, and we order fish when we go out a lot of times because I don't do a real good job personally of cooking it at home. So with Wild Alaskan Seafood, it makes it simple. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. You can choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. And every month, there are different specials to explore. Each shipment contains premium, wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Not now. Well, yeah, now. Get it now. But it is how nature intended it to be. It's always wild, never farmed or modified, and it contains no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership. Why would you do that? At any time. And they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company. And right now you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/GTA. That's wildalaskancompany.com/GTA for $15 off your first box. WildAlaskanCompany.com/GTA. Make sure to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. We love Wild Alaskan seafood. I personally have it in my freezer, and we'll be eating it this evening. And welcome back to Golf Talk America's Open Championship Wrap. I almost said PGA Tour Wrap. The Open Championship Wrap, R-A-P, W-R-A-P, however you want to spell it. Frank Bassett joining you to bring some of the interviews that we were privileged to be sitting in on. After the final round of the Open Championship, We all know who won it, but we'll hear from him a little later, because one person we want to hear from, a lot going on with this guy. A lot of things happened over the past few weeks. A lot of comments were made, comments withdrawn, apologies thrown out there. A lot of oops, I think. So, well, let's just go right to him. It's Bryson DeChambeau. We all know who we're talking about. Here he is in the interview room after his round at the Open Championship.
Bryson, thanks for joining us. A really lovely bogey-free 65 to finish the 149th Open. Do you feel like you just figured out Royal St. George's today?
Say that again. It was echoing in here. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, the conditions were pretty mild out there. There wasn't too much wind. It's sunny. I like the sun with a small amount of wind. I play well. And I was hitting the fairway today a lot and felt pretty comfortable with the irons from, you know, 150, 130, 140 out. And it struck some really nice iron shots in there and gave myself a lot of opportunities today, which I was proud of that fact.
Owen Slattery, please.
Hi, Bryson. You had a tough start to the week, but let's say yesterday and today you created plenty of chances, and especially today you seem to be hitting sublime shots all over the course. You must be happy, even though overall the score wasn't what you wanted, you must be happy finishing in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Finishing five under is a good feat, given it's the Sunday of an Open Championship, and I think that I'll learn a lot from this going into next year. It's one of those things that, for me, it's going to take time probably to learn the whole ins and outs of Open golf. I don't think I'll ever figure it out, but you know, hopefully one year I can get some of the right breaks going for me and hitting it really good with all facets of my game and give myself a great chance to win an Open Championship.
Did you change any approach to the way you were playing from, we'll say, Thursday to today? You seem to be kind of playing more economics than accounting today. It seemed to be more risk mitigation than kind of profit maximization, we'll say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've tried to do that all week. There was a few times where, you know, the driver got me into a few bad places. And then, you know, obviously I had a couple forehands get me into bad places yesterday. And so, you know, it's difficult out here. You got to really manage yourself and make sure you're hitting it right parts of the fairway. And it's one of those things that as time goes on, I'll keep learning more and more about Open Championship style golf. And, you know, one day, again, hopefully I can, you know, hold up the claret jug. That'd be awesome. But, you know, one of those things that I'll keep learning over the course of time, but definitely was more of an accountant today.
Bryson, thank you so much for being very generous with your time this week. Really appreciate it.
So there you have Bryson DeChambeau, short and sweet. We'll hear more from him, a lot more from him this next week, but he did have a great final round in his eyes at the Open Championship. But one other person we haven't heard from yet, which I'm looking forward to re-listening to this interview with you, is from the champion of the 148th Open Championship, and that's Mr. Shane Lowry, the man who celebrated and just finally gave back the claret jug. He held it for 2 years because we didn't have an Open Championship last year, hence the 148th to 149th, yet it would have been the 150th. Next year, the 150th at the old course. Going to be fun. But let's hear a little bit from Shane Lowry.
Shane, thank you so much for joining us. I have a question here for you from Dennis Kiwa.
Congratulations, Shane, on a stout defense of your title. First of all, a couple of questions. First of all, you might talk us through that extraordinary stretch from 6 to 10, and secondly, you received a tremendous ovation coming in on 18 there. You might talk us through your emotions as you walked up onto the final green.
Yeah, the first five holes are always tricky around here, and I was pretty happy to play those in par, and then, you know, get to 6. I've birdied 6 3 out of 4 days, so birdied again today, and then, you know, hit 2 great shots into 7, gave myself a chance at Egan. I was looking at the board going, wow, if I can hold this, you know, I'm really in the tournament, so it was good to get my juices flowing. Obviously, I actually hit a great putt there. I thought I was in, I just missed, and then I bogeyed it. But I birdied 9 to have a good, you know, good 2 under front 9 was pretty good. And you know, I just pulled my tee shot on 10 and pulled my second shot and yeah, just wanted a bad break, something that you get at Lynx Golf, but I recovered well. And you know, then for the rest of the day it was kind of it was, you know, I hit some good putts and I kind of was leaving myself a little bit too far away. It's hard to get close to some of these flags and it's hard to hold 30 footers in these greens because they're quite slow and it's hard to get the ball rolling at the hole. But all in all, I think it's been a great week. Another good performance in a big tournament. So I'm happy with myself and I'm proud of myself. Yeah.
Thanks. And our next question is from Philip Reed, please.
Hi Shane.
Good
strong defence of your title. That's your first major defence now out of the way. How different is it from a normal week in terms of what you had to deal with and just what do you learn yourself now going forward?
Yeah, it wasn't it wasn't too different. I suppose I was a bit edgy the first day, but you know, they kind of get that the week of big tournaments anyway, but I don't think it was a whole lot different from normal big tournament, normal majors. I really enjoyed the whole week. It was an amazing experience. You know, walking down the last hole today was, one of the coolest things you'll ever get to do, and I got to do it. So it's, like I said, I think it's been a great week. I would have liked to finish a little bit better, but it's a pretty nice result in a big tournament and another good performance. I feel like, you know, I've played 4 majors obviously this year, and I feel like 3 out of 4 of them I've had really, really good performances and played some of my best golf. So if that's not a step in the right direction, I don't know what is. I'm pretty happy with, you know, my year in the big events.
And our next question is from Peter Finnan, please.
Hi Shane, well done on the week. At the start of the season, like Ryder Cup qualification is obviously one of your top goals, and this week should see you jump into those automatic spots for the first time this year as well. So how good is it for you to know that, like, at this time of the year, such a big mental positive that you're trending in the right direction despite not really playing your best?
Who said I wasn't playing my best? I don't know if you've watched golf over the last 3 months, Peter, but I think I've been pretty good.
Okay, so we'll move on to our next question from Brian Keogh, please.
Yeah, hi Shane. Lovely day today. Great to
Thanks,
watch.
Brian.
Just wondering, what were you thinking going out there this morning? I know last night you were saying you didn't know maybe 11 under might be enough or maybe not. Were you looking at the early score and going, yeah, the score is out there, I could maybe shoot a score? Did you have a feeling at any stage, maybe when you birdied the ninth, that, you know what, 3 or 4 under in the back nine, we could have a sniff here?
Yeah.
What way did you think about it?
Yeah, I watched a bit of the golf this morning, and it's, you know, I knew there was going to be a score out there. Someone's going to shoot a score because it's tough, but it's not, it's gettable. But then also it's Royal St. George's, and you go out there and try and be aggressive, you could get kicked in the face. And I didn't want to be that person that was out there and been too aggressive. I still wanted to go out and just play my game plan and play how I've been playing. I knew I could shoot 5 or 6 under if I got on a roll. Look, when I birdied 9, especially, look, I missed a great chance for eagle on 7. And if that hit a go in, you know, it's kind of like... And then even after 9, I was thinking, you know, plenty of guys have shot 4 or 5 under in the back 9 of majors to win them, come from behind. And I said to myself, going down 10, I said, why can't it be me? And obviously I got a little bit, you know, of a bad break in the bunker on 10 and made bogey there, and it didn't really much didn't really happen for me over the last few holes. So but all in all, I went out, I played my game plan and I played some good golf, and I'm pretty happy with it.
And now, final question please, from Bernie Maguire.
Shane, just echo the comments of everybody else and say congratulations on a great defence, and also thank you for all your time in the lead up to this week.
Thanks, Bernie.
Can I just ask you, with the Open just putted out and the Defence Year Championship, how much are you looking forward now to going to Tokyo? Because I know you've had the air tickets for a long time.
Yeah.
This is probably as long as you had the claret jug.
Yeah. Look, I'm looking forward to it. I've said it all along. When it comes around, I'll be looking forward to it, and I'll be, you know, trying my best. I think it's obviously a huge honour for me to go and represent my country at the Olympics. It's something I never thought I'd do. but now I get to go and do it. And you know, but I'm going with one goal and one, you know, one ambition, and that's to bring a medal back to Ireland. That's the only reason I'm going. I'm not going there to, you know, I'm not going there on my holidays. I'm going there to win a medal, and that's kind of the way I look at it. And I feel like I'm playing some good golf going into it. So who knows? It's a great opportunity for me to go and do something very special. And, you know, hopefully I can get over to Tokyo and grab it by the scruff of the neck and, like I said, come back with a medal.
Just quickly, how do you prepare for that, for the games? Have you spoken to Rory about team tactics and the, maybe team uniforms and that sort of stuff?
Well, we have our clothes. I'm pretty sure we've been told what to wear. We'll decide what to wear when we're over there, but it's obviously not a team event. We are a team going over, but, you know, we are staying in the same place and we are going to be hanging out together that week. And but I think, you know, like it's individual. So I think it's going to be quite warm over there. So, but I've played in heat before, so it doesn't really matter. It's just another week. But, yeah, no tactics talked yet anyway.
Shane, thank you so much for your time this week. We really appreciate it.
So you have to appreciate the fact that Shane really didn't appreciate the fact that one of the media members asked a stupid question. And it really was, you haven't been playing your best golf. Who said I haven't been playing my best golf? Got really quiet in there, didn't it, folks? Nobody answered. Wow, interesting stuff. That kind of shows you how the media sometimes says the wrong thing at the wrong time. And that was the wrong thing at the wrong time, especially to Shane Lowry. So anyway, you're listening to Golf Talk America. This is our 149th Open Championship Wrap Show. And we'll be back with more from the Media Center with the runner-up and the champion, you'll want to hear. It's pretty interesting stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll be right back after this. For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. I know for me, 2 years of first-year French was pretty difficult, okay? Now, thanks to Babbel, the number one selling language learning app, there's an absolutely fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. I personally am studying Spanish with Babbel right now, and I can sit by my pool, I can sit in the living room or in the family room of my home, or take my Babbel lesson on my laptop when I'm propped up in bed having a cup of coffee. Babbel designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind. Things you'll get to use in everyday life. Other language learning apps use AI. They use AI for their lesson plans. But Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, my personal favorite, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. You know, I probably need to take English with Babbel after you listen to this show because a little bit tired and a lot of work been going on during the Open Championship, but I'm taking Spanish with Babbel and it's working. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com and use promo code GTA. That's Babbel.com, code GTA, for an extra 3 months free. Babbel, the language for life.
Hey, it's John Ashton from Those Weekend Golf Guys, and I was talking to Frank just the other day about daily fantasy sports, and I said, Frank, you play? And he went, well, I used to, but I'd never win. I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose. The game's rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups and experts with a lot more tools and a lot more time than you have, so you don't stand a chance, Frank. And then I told them about Stat Hero. It is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works, okay? Stat Hero will show you their lineup, and then they dare you to beat them. You see, it's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, and it's winner-take-all. You have the advantage. Try it yourself. Go to stathero.com/golftalk. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match, and that's unheard of. stathero.com/golftalk. This is a game even Frank could win.
Welcome back, everybody. Frank Bassett, Golf Talk America. We're wrapping up the 149th Open Championship. What a fun week it was. What an exciting finish it was on Sunday morning. Not afternoon, Sunday morning here in America, Sunday afternoon there in Sandwich, where the tournament was contested at Royal St. George. Wow. Jordan Spieth put on an exhibition on Sunday, and we had a chance to catch up with Jordan after his round. Pretty interesting stuff.
Okay, we'll make a start. Good evening, everyone. Joined by the runner-up in the 149th Open, Jordan Spieth. Jordan, not quite the result you would have hoped for today. Can you sum up how you're feeling just now?
Yeah, it's hard to be upset when I was a couple over through six. I couldn't have really done much more after that point. But the finish yesterday was about as upset as I've taken a finish of a round to the house. I mean, I walked in and said, is there something that I can break? And I mean, I knew that was so important because I would have been in the final group. And anyway, had to regroup 18 hours later and then just had a lot of in-between clubs. And you have to be so precise here. You need some good numbers. And then kind of fatted it off six and went to seven thinking, okay, now, you know, we're going for everything and we're going to see what happens. And I'm very proud of going 6 under in the last 12 in this golf tournament and putting some pressure on Colin. And from what I've heard since, you know, he made a big par save on 10, made a putt up the ridge on 14 and a par save on 15. And I needed a break and I didn't get it from him, and I did all I could. So I'm upset because I really felt like I played well enough to win and made a couple really dumb mistakes that possibly if I had maybe played the week before wouldn't have made, like just stepping in and missing my couple footer on 18 yesterday, not really thinking about it. And then at the same time, I did everything I could in the past few hours to win this championship.
Okay, we'll take questions from the floor if you raise your hand. Okay, back right, please.
Hi, Jordan. And did you have real concerns about your putting last night that you needed to sort of shake off, or was it more of a little mental lapse?
No, my putting's not where I want it to be at all. I say at all. It's progressing the right direction, but it's not where it has been, and I know what it needs to do to get there, and it's just very difficult to do. But it's rounds like today or this week, major championship rounds, where you have to obviously test not only your touch out here, but also a lot of knobs and breaking putts and truss lines. It's a good test for it. And I just wasn't extremely sharp with the putter this week. I was sharper than I was at Augusta. And it's been a little bit kind of here and there this year. My bad weeks have still been okay. My good ones are really good, but I needed to put in a little bit of work trying to almost get a solid couple hundred to 500 putts in between yesterday's finish to today's round to think that I could go out and confidently go stroke enough to win.
Okay, next question, John, in the back row.
At what point last night did you get over the end of your third round, or if it was last night or this morning?
Probably after dinner. I mean, I was 60 yards out in the fairway and made bogey on 17, and then I had a good look, you know, up straight up the hill on 18. I finished 2 over on those holes, which what was frustrating was the separation that it would have been. It would have been 3 of us separated by at least 3 shots from the field, and I would have been in the final group. So it was kind of a double whammy there where you feel like you're not worried about someone going low behind you as much, and you feel in control when you're in the final group. And so that was a new one for me. But I would say after dinner. And, you know, I mean, what good does it do to be upset? I mean, you come out today and I kind of came out with the, yes, I should be in the last, I should be leading the tournament. It's how I felt. But now I get to play the, with the chaser's mentality, which sometimes can be with a bit more freedom.
Was it not being in the final group that bothered you the most? It sounds like it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I've been in that position a lot of times, and it's just, it's a lot nicer when stuff's happening in front of you and you can control, you can still birdie that hole versus, you know, I get off the 16th today and I'm like, well, you know, they could birdie behind and there's nothing I can do about it now. When you're the last to come in, you've got the last chance on 18, and that's, I think that's the easiest place to come from.
Okay, next question.
Especially when it's easier conditions. I mean, if we had wind and rain and all that, then, you know, obviously, as this tournament has showed at this venue, it's nice to post. But that wasn't going to be the case today.
Okay, the next question from the left.
Hi, Jordan. Just a question about Sandwich and the location. How much have you enjoyed being here and being in this Ken Golf Course?
Yeah, I mean, we unfortunately are not able to explore. But I did enjoy this golf course from when I first played 12 holes last Sunday. And I thought that it was quirky in a fun way. I think we only late today did we start to see the wind that, you know, the course is designed, I think, to play in. So I don't think we got the same tests that those guys have had in years past. But even saying that, each hole provided its own kind of unique way to play it because of that. And I thought that the RNA did just a fantastic job of allowing the scores to happen. I mean, the pins were on some pretty diabolical locations, but it stayed, I think, didn't let it get out of hand firm to where you had no chance and it became luck or bounce dependent. I think it stayed in a position where you could really golf your ball, and if you happen to make birdies and 15 under does win, then so be it, because we don't normally get this nice of conditions at the Open Championship.
Okay, next question from the front.
Hi, Jordan. You said that Colin didn't give you a break that you needed, and he's also made a bit of history today, you know, winning two majors on his debut. What does that tell you about the player that he is and the player that he can or will become?
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything I need to even say about it that hasn't already been talked about or that he's certainly proven. I think I would say less is more at this point. Stay down the path he's on. He swings the club beautifully, gets it in positions that make it very, very difficult to not start the ball online, and therefore he's going to be very consistent tee to green. And then clearly, with the shots he's hit and the putts he's hold, he's not afraid of high-pressure situations and winning major championship with them. And is he 21? Is that how old is he? I don't even know.
Maybe
24. 24? At 24, it's obviously there's a bright future ahead. That's pretty special. I mean, I think winning one, you know, can happen to a lot of people playing really good golf in 1 week, and then I think winning two, three more or more, it's, I mean, he's obviously proven that this stage is what he, you know, where he wants to be.
Strange for someone so young to win. When he got to 15 under, he just didn't let go, did he? So he got a grip on it.
No, I'm very aware of that, yeah.
I'm sure you
yeah.
are.
Okay, we do have some questions on Zoom. Liv, go ahead.
Thank you. And our first question comes from Adam Shupak, please.
Thanks, Jordan. I have a couple for you. TV showed video of you arriving at the course, and you had your putter with you. What did you do with it last night?
Well, we're all staying together anyways, and Michael took the bag, and I wanted to hit some putts on a putting rail that you can't use on the greens here because there's too much, you need flat surface, and it's not uncommon for me to do that. So I just wanted, he went to the course early, and I just wanted to hit a few putts before on the putting rail before I came over, a rail that I've used for a few years now.
Thank you, and our next question is from Mark Cannizzaro.
Hey, Jordan, you know, you won two majors out of your first 10 tries. This is now 2 out of 8 for Colin. I wonder if you can just recollect what you felt like when you won that second major and kind of what was ahead for you.
It's a good question. I think I felt, I guess, obviously very pleased, but almost like, almost felt like, wow, you know, I almost thought like, oh, wow, that's good timing. You know, like you're playing well week in and week out. He's won other golf tournaments, but wow, that's good timing. I think what's interesting with Colin too is, and this doesn't really answer your question, I'm sorry, but, you know, his other wins had come with little to no crowds, a few of his other wins, and then some with modified crowds. And then you step into 35,000 and holding a lead down the stretch, I think is really impressive considering that's a first, not only first Open Championship, but given the timing of, you know, when he's been out here, he spent, you know, a year, year and a half of that in essentially a crowdless environment. And then it's harder. It's harder with big crowds. You feel it more. You know where you are. It's a bigger stage, and I think that's impressive. I don't really recall. I mean, when I won my second, we still had, you know, we were just getting into the season, and I remember going then and was on a streak. I won my next tournament, the John Deere, and went to the Open Championship to try and win three in a row, and almost I just remember it kind of, the game, everything was easy, everything was fun, things are going your way, everything's very smooth, and I think it's certainly not going to be the case over the course of a career, but he's got the potential to be able, and the game to, and the head to be able to manage any kind of bumps in the roads.
Okay, everyone, that's all we've got time for this evening. Jordan, well played, and thanks for your time.
Thanks.
So there you have Jordan Spieth and his comments after his really, really, really fine round in the Open Championship. Wow, he thought he was going to do it, thought he had him. Colin Morikawa did not back down. Jordan even said that. And being in the last group, there's something to be said for that. We know now that Jordan Spieth never wants to be in the penultimate group, but he wants to be in the last group. So with a little bit of time left, I swear I'm going to go take Babbel for English, folks. I apologize. A lot of tiredness in this old voice today, but I wanted to get these interviews out to you because what a great Open Championship it was. Hey, Colin Morikawa now.
So I'm delighted to welcome our champion golfer of the year, Colin Morikawa. Colin, firstly, congratulations. A tremendous performance this week, a 15 under par total of 265. What's been the secret for you this week, and how does it feel to lift that famous old trophy?
The secret? Well, I never do this, but I had a burger for four straight days, so my body's probably feeling it. I know my body's feeling it. I think I just enjoy these moments, and I talk about it so much that we love what we do, and you have to embrace it. You know, you have to be excited about these opportunities, and that's how I looked at it today, especially coming down the stretch, was I'm excited. And to have the Claret jug right here in my possession for a year, I believe, I'm excited to have it.
Well, that's great. Thank you. We'll take the question from the front, please.
Hi, Colin. Congratulations. When we spoke to you last night and we were talking about the possibility of a two-way shootout, you were saying it's not about head-to-head. It's not about making history. You've now made history as the first player to win two majors on their debut. So I just wonder if you could talk to us what it is like to make history. And also, does it mean you'll only win a maximum of four majors?
I hope not. You know, I think when you make history, and I'm 24 years old, it's hard to grasp and it's hard to really take it in. A quick little side note was, you know, when Phil won the PGA, he's 50 years old, right? I didn't look at him as, you know, this old guy winning. I looked at him as still competition that could really play well. You know, if he put everything together, which he did, he could play well and win. So at 24, it's so hard to look back at the short 2 years that I've been a pro and see what I've done, because I want more. You know, it's so early on, and I enjoy these moments, and I love it, and I think I need to teach myself to embrace it a little more, maybe spend a few extra days sitting back and drinking out of this. I just want more. You know, when you're in these moments and you truly love what you do, which I love playing golf and competing against these guys, these are the best moments ever because the nerves push you to just be a better person.
And what drink will be going in there?
I don't know. You know, it's JJ's birthday. I'm going
to
let him decide.
You're probably too young to drink, aren't you?
You know, I'll drink anything. We've been staying at the hotel right by the course, and every night I see all the caddies drink, and I'm like, man, I really want to drink, but I hold back on tournament week. So
let rip tonight. Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah,
let loose tonight.
Yeah, we got to make a flight, but yeah, we'll make a we'll be fine.
Okay, next question, back left, Ewan, please.
Colin, congratulations. Here,
right, back left.
Everyone remarks on how calm and collected and cool you look on the golf course in what was presumably quite an intense, high-pressure situation. Are you actually that calm and collected? Are you jumping up and down inside? Or if you are so calm, how do you manage to feel that way?
Yeah, well, I'm glad I look calm because the nerves are definitely up there. But, you know, you channel these nerves into excitement, into energy, and that puts you away from, like, a fear factor into, you know, this is something I want. So that's how I look at it, you know, especially as those last nine holes were coming in. Jordan was making birdies. I think Rom was pushing. Louis had a birdie on 11, an amazing birdie. You can't worry about the score. I had to worry about every shot. Can I execute every shot to the best of my ability? Some we did, some we didn't, and then you move on. You know, we can't control what's going to happen, what has happened. So I really looked at that as just focus on every shot. How do I see what is the best shot possible? And try and do my best from there.
Okay, next question. Martin, right at the back, please.
Colin, well played. You spoke on Friday about the importance of the Scottish Open, getting yourself in the position. When you last Sunday, I think you were four or five over after five or six holes. Did you genuinely feel then that you could become Open champion a week later? And have you signed up now to the Scottish Open for the rest of your life?
Well, I'm not making any promises here. But yeah, I still felt like, you know, if I made the right changes, I could come out here and win. And the Scottish Open last week at Renaissance was, you know, different from Royal St. George's this week. But it still had that same turf, you know, same fescue fairways. And, you know, I was just rolling the dice on hoping these irons would work. You know, I didn't know if they were going to work. There was no real answer. And I still need to figure out the answer, even though I struck it really well. But I need to know an answer why. You know, I can't just put these irons in and hope they're going to work for the next 15 years. I need answers why. Equipment changes, everything changes. So I'm going to go into a deep dive and figure out why these MC irons, the TaylorMade P7 MC irons, worked, and just keep moving forward. You know, but yes, the Scottish was huge. And even after that start, I think I finished with two or three straight birdies, built some momentum.
Okay, Bob, next, please.
Even with that last week, getting a little bit of experience, there is typically more of a learning curve with links golf. I mean, it's very rare that a guy wins this tournament his first try. How do you think you overcame that? And how much different of a style of golf is it from what you're used to?
Yeah, you know, you try not to listen to everything when you have a rookie, where it's your
Sorry about that, folks. We lost the feed for some reason, but that gave you a flavor of Colin, his attitude, his personality, and, of course, if you watch the tournament and his acceptance of the claret jug and the gold medallion, the badge, the trophy, it was very eloquent. He's well-spoken, a great young man, and I apologize for us not having the rest of that feed coming through for us, but it's a big pond. It's a long way across. And so anyway, just kidding. Anyway, thank you for listening. If we get the rest of that feed, I promise you in tomorrow's show, we will give you the rest of it and let you hear how he ended it. Wasn't much more left, to be honest with you. But again, sorry for losing that feed. We will be back tomorrow with more Golf Talk America, getting ready for some upcoming events, some big stuff about to happen. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you to Tim Matthews for not being here today. Tim, where are you? But we'll have Tim tomorrow. He's on another assignment. You've been listening to Golf Talk America and the 149th Open Championship Wrap Show, and we'll see you soon.